Right, this week we're beginning a new Sefer, the Book of Shemos. And the Iksav HaKabbalah, I don't want to say he doesn't disappoint. But this is actually, it was very hard to go through this week to try to figure out. But essentially, as I've been doing throughout the series, is try to find new ideas which you might not have heard before. And hopefully, through seeing the way that he looks at things, it gives us a new perspective. Okay, so we're going to begin with Shemos on page 292, and the last pasuk in the first little section there is Uvenei Yisrael Paruva Yishretuva Yabuva Yatzmu B'Maod Maod B'Tmalei Arzosam, and it just gives us a very 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 brief summary of the history, how Yaakov and his family came down. It gives us the names of Yaakov's sons. It mentions that Yaakov died. It mentions that Yosef died. Actually, it doesn't even mention that Yaakov died. Okay, he mentions that Yosef died, and all the brothers died, and the people grew in number. Bima'od, me'od. Bima'od, me'od. Bima'od, piresh, b'rov shebehem, haya hariboy ve'otza me'od. Okay, the fact that it says beis means that it wasn't everybody. You know, there are some people, who just, they're not capable of having that many children, or they're not, or in one shot. He does follow the party line, which I always have trouble with, but just on a personal level. But he says that in other words, that people were having six at a time, etc. However, he says, "V'lo yabam kiim me'atim shelo yimtzamehem zehariboy neflo ba'olad ve'otzen." He quotes the Rabbag, who says that you only had there were a few who were not able to do what everybody else was doing. "V'zeh ina beis b'milas me'od nosefes." Okay, that is a theme that he keeps bringing up. That all the mafarshim, they run hoops around trying to figure out why this is written this way, or to explain to you why there's a missing word. And he says, no, there's nothing. It's bimaod, but not everybody. Okay, that's the point. All right. So what are we introduced to immediately after this? There's a Melech Hadash, new king in Egypt. Asher lo yada'as Yosef, he doesn't know Yosef, and he tells his people that the Am Bnei Yisrael, Rav V'atzum Mimenu. Rav V'atzum. So what does Rav V'atzum mean? Okay. He says that they're many, and how would you translate Atzum? I mean, the article says they're numerous and stronger than we are. Okay. That they're getting bigger and stronger than the Egyptians. Right, just the numbers are going up. Actually, I'm not even sure what this part means. That must be a quote somewhere. Rav means that there's just a lot. He saw that 70 had come down, and now there are hundreds of thousands. It started with 70, and now there's hundreds of thousands. That's crazy. He's saying, there is no way that the Egyptian population growth, even if people are more than reproducing themselves, 3, 4, 5, 6, if the numbers are actually playing themselves out the way that Chazal have always told us that they are, he says there's no competition. It's only a matter of time. What's going to happen? His concern, Pasuk says, Havan Ischak Malo Pen Yerbevayak Yisagrena Milchamav Nosaf Gam Hu Also Ne'inu V'Nilcham Bo'nu V'Olam Ne'aretz. Then we have to get smart about this, because if a war comes, then v'nilcham banu v'yalam in ha'aretz. What does that mean? V'yalam in ha'aretz. Okay? So, Rashi says v'yalam in ha'aretz. He actually doesn't say anything. He doesn't really explain. How do you translate alam in ha'aretz?
It could either refer to the Mitzrayim himself, as we said last year in Kriyakar. Right. Is that true? Or it could mean B'nai Yisrael will go ahead and go up on the land.
Well, what does go up on the land mean? They're going to leave.
They're
going to lose our workforce. Okay, so the problem that he actually mentions, I don't know if I gave that to you here, but the problem with that perspective is that guess what? They're not yet slaves. Okay, so to make that argument, to say that he is concerned that they are going to leave because we're going to lose our workforce, he says it's not a very good argument. Okay?
Unless he had that idea in mind that this is what he would like to do.
Okay, but again, what the point that we have to consider is what's his real issue? Like, what's he really addressing here?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take a look. V'Allah mina aretz. Milas v'Allah inyan aliyah samala v'yitaron. Allah means going up higher. Kamo hager shebekirbecha ya'ale alecha. That the stranger who lives among you will go up. What does that mean? Ya'ale alecha. Okay? What does infersteigen mean?
Yeah, go beyond, right.
So I remember once I sat in on a conversion where one of the rabbis in the basement said to the fellow who was converting, he says, you realize that we are expecting you to be in the top 10% of the, you know, of the from Jews now. That's what we are expecting of you. Like, there are plenty of people who didn't have this. You want it, you got to follow our rules. People are born into it, you know. Anyways, he says, Umem shel min ha'aretz umem ha'yitaron. The mem of min ha'aretz tells us something that is going to be greater. That's his concern. Allah min ha'aretz is that they will rule over us. It's not that they're going to leave. It's not that they're going to kick us out. It's that they will go mala mala. That they will rule over us. Okay?
That's simple.
And he goes on to prove it. I think I cut out most of the rest of it, but that was the right. And look at the next part.
Yeah.
Rabbi,
can I just ask a question
on
something that we
mentioned
before?
Sure.
Because he's always very big on every word counts. All of the words that describe how B'nai Yisrael is multiplying, Paro, the Yitzhak, the Yirgu, the Yatsman, you know, any commentary on...
I wrote down to give it to you. Paru, he says, Kol echad holid v'loya behen akar v'akara. Paru means that they were fruitful, there were no people who were barren. Not on the male side, not on the women. So nobody sterile, nobody whatever. Vayishritu, harbe v'lados ke'echad. Vayishritu means that they were swarming, having multiples at once. Vayirbu, shaholidu harbe pi'amim. That they gave birth, not just having multiples once, but they did that a few times. So those are that's his commentary on that. And Vayatzmu he also has. I mean, he says Vayatzmu herichu yamim kimoi ba'ovei chaim vatzmu. Basically, he says that they live longer. So the longer they live, they follow that same pattern. You're just going to have more kids. So that's his answer for all that. All right. So Paro's plan again is we're going to become smart. So what do? They start off pasuk in aleph vayasimu alav sari misim l'manano sobasivul sam. That they give these tax collectors jobs in order to l'man anoso b'sivlo sam, to make them to afflict them in their sivlos. What sivlos means is a longer conversation. You know, they say with their burdens, but it's not, you know, they're depending on the context, it might mean something else. Okay, so he says l'man anoso b'sivlo sam, and what happens as a result? By even aray miskinos leparo as pisomi as Ram says, and so they make these aray miskinos. Okay, what that means is an interesting question as well. He doesn't really address it, but I don't remember if we addressed that stuff last year. Anyway, lemano no soba civil sub. So take a look at what he says. Ratzalomar lemano no sosam beotzim hamasa shahayum hamisim aliyem. In order to make them, to burden them essentially with the burden of the taxes. V'zehamas. Hoya b'tchilas ha'inyan, sh'ayinosn davar katsuv l'melach, shana b'shana, chodesh b'chodesh ha'yom b'yom, b'yom b'yom. That the tax started off being either an annual thing, a monthly thing, or a daily thing. V'asher lo haya yachol l'fro ha'amas, haya ha'melach nifram yana b'shibudo osa l'binyan. Whoever couldn't pay, said, all right, you can't pay? Fine, so you're going to have to, you'll pay it with your labor. And that's how you know that some of the Jewish people were exempt. Why were they exempt?
Because
they were wealthy.
Or they were priests.
Oh, I mean, the priests of Egypt, they were wealthy, basically. You could pay the tax. If you could pay the tax, that's it. Exemption. Tax, exempt. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what are the Saremi Sim? Oh, I like this one. Saremi Sim. So this is actually this is a cultural commentary. What does he say, Saremi Sim? Tarko Munkulus to Shiltonin Mavishim. What's Mavish? Like a despicable.
Embarrassing.
Right, embarrassing, right? Shiltonin are are rulers. Nira Shapirish Misim Lashon Mius Ubizui. Misim comes from, we translate it to mean mas, like a tax. Yeah, he says, no, it's Mius. Basically, I mean, I don't have to read it, but basically what he says is that the people who were the tax collectors, in order to get the point across that they were, you know, in charge, they were miserable people. I think of it like the bad capos. I mean, I don't know if there were good capos. But basically, in order to get, you know, you had to get in with the authorities. They'll be nice to you, so you'll use your midas ha'achzarius, your cruelty, in order to do what you got to do. All right, so that's what we get out of Perek Aleph. He doesn't really address so much what happens with the. He actually skips from Yud Gimel to Chaf, but I skipped all that. Okay, we're gonna move on to Perek Beis. Okay, Perek Beis introduces us to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's actually an anonymous boy at this point in time. So there's a remarriage, as we know. How do we know it's a remarriage aside from the fact that we know the story?
It says Vayikach, he took her.
Well, he took, but what else do we know? There's a daughter. Okay.
Right, she got he has a
sister. Okay.
And
right. Yeah. Right. But I mean, it doesn't mention the brother here, although I think I mentioned last year that when Pasuk Vav, Vatiftach vatir eyu as a yelid, that when she opens up the basket and she sees the boy, vihine na'ar boche, and there's a na'ar crying, yelid, na'ar, that maybe it was Aaron who was crying. I don't know if that was, I saw that somewhere, I don't remember. But he definitely doesn't talk about that. Okay, anyway, so Kitov, this is, to me, was just fascinatingly refreshing. Vatere oso kitovu, vatitzpeneu shlosha yirachim. Okay, now, many people actually do say this, but they say, why was she able to hide him for 3 months? Why?
They always say
premature. So yeah. What's ketov? If a baby is born 3 months premature, what are his chances of survival without modern medicine?
Slim to none.
So what does it say? Vatera zo ketovu. She saw that he was fine. That's it. They're brilliant. It's so pashut.
That's what he says.
It's, yeah, that's what he says. Why?
Oh, she let
me know. Everybody thinks that this child's not going to survive. She said that he was fine. You like that one?
I like that one.
Good. Okay, that's good.
I like the Nisim one also.
Okay, good. Good. Okay.
That's my favorite.
All right. All right, so now so I just also thought the next two ones were rather cute. Venaro Selchos. Okay, so remember the daughter of Paro comes down. Well, I'm sorry. The mother puts the baby in the suf, right in the reeds, al svasi, or at the edge of the river. So the sister is watching from a distance to see what's going to happen. So the daughter of Paro goes down to the river. Now, where is she going down to the river? They actually do this, you know. Maybe they read the Ksav HaKabbalah when they made the movies. You know, Cecil B. DeMille does it this way. Prince of Egypt did it this way. Right? What do they say? How do they demonstrate how the daughter of Paro goes down to the river? Is she going down to, like, you know, Nile River beach? You know, no. Where does she go? The Nile River has little, you know, inlets which go to the palace. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what he says here. Why are her maidens, right, her servants going around? Right, Sinias got to make sure there's no man coming while the daughter of the king is there. And maybe this is another reason to help distance people. In other words, I don't know if this was Yocheved's intent. Maybe she specifically did it this way so that, hey, if there's a kind-hearted person in the palace, where else will this child be safer? I don't know. Vatishlachas amasa.
The river there would be much more calm.
Right, of course. Right. Vatishlachas amasa. So she sends her maid. He misharetes chashuva. That's a very important maid, or servant. Somebody who didn't have major burdens. She's watching the towels, right? She's making sure that everything is fine, but she's not really doing anything. So she's the one who gets sent. So the fact that she sends Amasa being a more important maid who doesn't have to do, you know, heavy labor or anything like that. I don't mean heavy labor. I mean more menial tasks. Just shows that Moshe is in line for greatness, because who's taking care of him? The highest of the maids, right? Think about what Yosef was in Potiphar's house before he gets sent to prison. Okay, he's the top. Okay, he's like a chief butler. That's a pretty in Potiphar's house. So that's an important position. If he were to do something, you're the most important guy in Potiphar's house. Very nice. So that's the way it is in Basparo's house. That's the most important person who's getting here. Not only that, she's the daughter of the king. Lechotz hayor al hayor, and here's where he goes into the details of where she's actually taking her bath. Becheder shel melech shayasamuch layor mabitbo. It was in a room of the king's palace, which was close to the Yaor, which could oversee the Yaor. Kimnam kvoda bas melech pnima, because the fact of the matter is that for her to go bathing out in public, I don't care if it's Egypt, it's still not appropriate. Kvoda bas melech pnima, the daughter of the king, is not eye candy for anybody.
How does Yocheved, though, get Moshe that close to the palace?
Yeah,
that is a good question. So he doesn't address that. So she said, I mean, what the pasuk says, "Vatasim basuf al svas hayor." I don't know the comings and goings of those people at that time, but clearly for the sister to be able to come over to her, you know, if this is correct, right? She's basically coming into this. Into this room,
right.
So clearly, you know, they didn't have what do they call it? Security. I was going to say secret service. No secret service.
Or that's part of a miracle.
Right. Okay. Right. Could be. Ubeli safek lo yatsa oil hayor. That's the sforno. Zayin tzarach l'sirus hamikro kilarashi. He says you don't. Everything's clear again. Like he always says. According to with you don't need to try to run loops around the text in order to figure out what's going on.
I don't think you even have to say that, you know, he says that the palace went there. Where Hotel Yor could just mean to wash on the side of the river.
But it could be.
It
could also be that it's a private beach. I mean, and there's limited access.
Right.
So Miriam has to go through the reeds in order to get there. I mean, that it could
be. It makes it more reasonable than going into the river.
Right. Okay. The next thing which we have here, but I'm not going to read it with you. I just want to. So unlike what I told you before about the Na'ar possibly being Aaron, the Ksav HaKabbalah goes through trying to explain and demonstrate how the word Na'ar is more of it's just a higher level of connection. If you look at the very end of the fourth line in this commentary. On Pasuk Vav, top of page 2. Kishem Nar Hunach Le, you know, he uses this phrase every single week. He must be quoting somebody, a contemporary of his.
Lerashin Fei, right?
Yeah, every week he quotes, I don't know.
Yeah.
Al Ma'amad HaNarus Bebechinas Ruchni Yuso. He says that, what is Narus? Narus has a spiritual connotation. Mizel Markan Vigne Nar Boche, what's the Lomar Shir? Gisha Mitinu Osav. Basically, he says that she sees him, and at first, you know, she sees that he's a baby, he's a yelled, and then when she actually perceives him, she was able to see in him something which was more special. And that's why Vatachmola left. She said, there's something unique about this kid. This is not just a generic baby. There's something special about it. And she was able to perceive that. And that's why the narrative switches from Yeled, Vatitach Vatir Eiwes HaYeled, that he's a Yeled, and then Vihine Na'ar Boche, and how do they, you know, when it goes back, but, you know, when you're talking about nursing the child, so who says, V'seinik Lach Es HaYeled? You know, and when Miriam refers to him, she talks about him being a Yeled, because from her perspective, you know, she's Yeled.
He's a Yeled. Brother.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, look, it goes back to Yeled, and over again, it does say it, and she refers to him as a Yeled as well. But again, it goes back to, but what are they talking about when they're referring to him? They're talking about baby stuff. Can you nurse him? Can you take care of him until he grows up? But the idea of his being a Nar, again, it was something which she perceived, which was kind of cool. All right, we move on. We move on. Okay. Oh. All right. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay. So Moshe grows up. He goes out. Vayi. Vayamim ha'ein. Vayidah Moshe vayitzei alecha. Vayar. B'sivlo sam. Moshe goes out and he sees b'sivlo sam. Again, what's b'sivlo sam? So here's his burdens. Vayar ish b'tzrim ha'kei shirim e'echav. So he sees an Egyptian hitting a Hebrew. Now we're all familiar with the story. Okay? So there's a question about Moshe's killing this Egyptian. It seems that Moshe is a bit of a vigilante over here. Right? He's Batman, but he's actually killing the guy. So he's striking the guy, he's beating him. Okay, so just get him to stop. Maybe he deserves a beat. You kill him. Right, this is a basic human law that murder is never justified. Murder. Killing is sometimes justified, but not murder. What's the difference? What's the difference in murdering a Hebrew or an Egyptian? How is it going to help if he actually kills this guy in private? Nobody's going to know. Ain ze ki im nakom, right? It's revenge, v'chema, and just anger. Beli mishpat, no just v'harich muzeli yashvo. Chol dvarav ainam aspikim. Says that's the way this other fellow does it. V'chein hara'im his orer the avagash and eschayev mitzri misa v'deishem ha'im ain dina la'ar b'dei adam. K'mosh kasav Rambam.
Okay, so how does he translate? He just raises the question with no answer.
Yeah. He says, Shebedin Hargo. No, I'm sorry, he does say it, and I should not have cut it out. Shebedin Hargo, Kigam Yisrael Din Kain, Arode Barcha Havero, Vachoshev Lakosaka, Mamisoso, Nitan Lahatsil and Nita Benav Shirode. I'm sorry, I apologize. I don't know how I missed that. Okay, he says that all of these arguments, they're not, he rejects them all. He says they're not good arguments because. If somebody, who knows how far the Egyptian was going to go? Right. He's a rodef, he's a pursuer, he's a murderer, and so he can be killed. All right, so that's the answer. Now, it's interesting, because this is going to come back to haunt us in a little bit at the burning bush. Now, what happens when Moshe makes his decision? He looked in this direction, he saw there was no man, he struck the Egyptian. What does vayar ki ein ish mean, there was no man?
No one
is going to
save the guy. Yeah, he had no
Jews
coming out of him, right?
Well, yeah. You're talking about the future.
Am I talking about the future?
Yeah, you're talking about the future. No Jews coming, no good people coming out of him.
No, there's no one that's going to be a rodeo. He isn't.
No.
No one's going to kill him.
No one's going to be the defender. Okay,
Vayarki
ein ish, another possibility is that there was nobody. Oh, I'm saying there's nobody else playing defense.
Right.
There was nobody looking, some people say. There's nobody looking.
Right.
That's why he said it was in secret. So he says what Billy said. There's nobody else looking to save the guy. At Bracious Rabba, that's what it means. Reshid Aleph is usually Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel. There's no Pinchas here who's going to take care of business. Okay, Sheikanela Kadosh Baruch Hu Yagenu. All right, Milas Ish Torah LaAdam Chashuv Ein Ish. So when it says there's no Ish, there's no man, in Ish refers to somebody who is a significant player, an important guy. So there's nobody who is playing that role, saying I'm going to take care of business because business needs to be taken care of. Okay, now this one was fascinating to me. Remember, the next day Moshe goes out and he sees two Jews fighting. He says to them, one of them says to him, Misam Chal Ish Sarva Shofet Aleinu, who made you into an officer? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? What is Achain? Achain. Moshe says, Achain, the matter is known. Achain. The Rabba Kamo Imkain. Rabba is Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra. That's Ibn Ezra. He says Achain is like Imkain. Well, the Rashbam Kamo Achkain. Now, what do you think Aksava Kabbalah is going to think about that? The word is achain, not imkain, not achain. What's he going to say?
His favorite word.
No good. Okay, he's going to say, what is it? Vumklus v'yonatam anuzil tergumu b'kushta. He says it means truth. L'da'ati ta'amo me'umas etzli. Ich bin gevis. What does that mean?
Bin revealed. Gevis.
Gevis. Gevis. Okay.
So it's known.
It's known. Right? That what is achain? It's clear to me. It's clear to me. Yeah, does he give another example? No, remember what Yaakov says when he has his dream? Yeah. It's clear to me that God is here. What do you mean? Imkain, achkain. Clear. That's what it means. Achain. Okay, again, he doesn't pull this stuff out of nowhere. He always has proof.
He takes it from Unklus.
Okay, fine. He takes it from Unklus, but then he brings you another example of a pasuk that has the same word and has a good meaning. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
Yes, in the zeal tergumah, but our text of Unklus also says that.
He said both. Unklus, Yonatan ben Azil.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tergumah, Bekushta. Yeah, Unklus, Yonatan ben Azil. Alright, so he leaves. He goes to the land of Midian after this matter became known. He goes and discovers the daughters of Yisro, and he has a child. Vayikra Eshemo Gershom. Gershom. Why does he call the child Gershom? Ki amar ger hayisi be'eretz nochriya. Now, what does the word phrase ger hayisi be'eretz nochriya mean?
I was a stranger in a strange land.
Right, hayisi is past tense, right? Ger hayisi. So where was he a stranger?
In Midian. Or in Mitzrayim.
Where is he now?
He's in Midian now.
So if he says ger hayisi...
So it has to be Mitzrayim.
It has to be, right?
It has to be Mitzrayim.
Has to be. So does that mean he's not a stranger now in Midian? It's interesting. This whole pasuk, because it's vague, it lends itself open to the question of how did Moshe identify? How did Moshe identify? So let's take a look. Gershom. Lefi shahaya boreach. Machmas melech parash pikesh l'arga. Moshe was running from the king of Egypt who wanted to kill him. His aleich migoyel goy. There's a gap in the Torah in terms of Moshe's formative years. Moshe leaves, depending on which midrash you follow, somewhere between being like a teenager to being up to 40. Like teenager, 20, 40, those are the most popular numbers, but anywhere in between is really what it was. And so there's a lot going on in other works to try to figure out what Moshe...
Wasn't he 80 when he went to Paro?
Yes, So you know exactly. There's a big gap in Moshe's life. How do you fill in that gap? So that's what he says. He says, "Who's called the Talech? Me goy goy." He had to go from nation to nation. And there he never felt secure. To show that he has been exiled, essentially, from his land and from his nation. I'm just going to give you the preview of what he means. Ger hayisi means I have become a stranger. Lomugurash. Somebody who is an expatriate and goes and moves someplace else, he's a ger who is not migurash, thrown out. Avamisha Garsham al Korcho, but somebody who really wants to be back with his people and wants to live back at home, O Shalolur Tsono Humugurash Bemes, or he's out against his will, then he is migurash, then he is exiled. He's not saying, I am a ger, aval amar ha'isi, kamo b'ato ha'isi l'shnei machanos. Remember, that's what Yaakov says. When Yaakov is praying to God, saying, Esav's coming, what am I now? Ato ha'isi, I have become shnei machanos. Or shnei machanos. Shenaseh ba'al korcho l'yos ger b'eretz nochriya. And that's what he's saying. He says, I've become a stranger. Like, I mean, does Moshe have any vision or any anticipation that his life's going to change? He views himself as being a permanent exile. Why on earth would he go back to Egypt? Right, what's in it for him in Egypt? There's a price on his head.
Yeah.
Right? So why would he want to ever go back? So that's why he says, I'm resigned. This is my fate. I'm getting married. Ger Ayisi, I have become a ger. Eretz Nachriya. And therefore it's not from
location, right?
No, in other words, it's not ger shum. Where does ger, like, I'm a stranger there? What's the word ger shum come from?
Ger shum.
being migurash.
Migurash, being exiled.
Right.
But it's not it, according to this.
No.
Gershom.
No. Yeah. Because, what, no. Vayikrash mo gershom, ki amar, gerayisi be'eretz nochriya. I'm a stranger in a strange land. Why? Because I've been exiled from my own.
I've been exiled from Egypt. Which is Egypt.
Okay, you can't. I mean, look, he's not saying Ger Hayisi Be'eretz Nachriya Ger Shom. The name is Gershom. So it seems like Sava Kabbalah is suggesting that the root of the name Gershom is Migurash, sent out. Okay. All right. Good. Good. See, you know, little insights. No major mind blowing stuff. But anyway. Pasuk of Gimel, so this one he actually gets from the Midrash Rabbah, by Yamas Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt is dead. He says, Amur Rabbah Shen Itztara V'Hamad Tzorah Chashuk Meis, said that the king of Egypt did not die. He became, he had Tzaras.
Okay, so why is this is one of the four.
It's that their life is so miserable that they need to be treated in a way which is with extra special care. Now that doesn't really explain. It's much better to think that the old king is dead and that the new guy arises. But unfortunately, we don't know the truth of who were the Egyptian paros. There's debate as to who it was. One thing that's clear is that all the movies got it wrong. Okay,
it wasn't Ramses.
No.
It wasn't Yul Brynner.
Yeah, Yul Brynner may have been, but he was playing the wrong pharaoh.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Okay, let's do it. Vayeda Elohim. All right. So the last pasuk in this chapter is Vayar Elohim is Bnei Yisrael. Vayeda Elohim. Remember, it says Vayanchu Bnei Yisrael and Avodah. They had a krechts. They cried out, and the cry goes out to God. So the question is Vayeda Elohim. What did God know? Or is that even a good translation of Vayeda?
God knew that it was time to do something.
Right? Okay, maybe not. Okay. Hamikra sasum, kilo zachar smi yada. The word is vayeda Elohim. I mean, we assume that it means knew, that he knew something. V'im shaval b'nei Yisrael, nizkar mikra zeh, ha'ilo lamar vayidaim Elohim. If it's that God knows the circumstance of b'nei Yisrael, then it should refer to them in the plural. V'kama perushim yesh al zeh b'divrei meforshim. Ma'unyan yadia, many of the commentaries address it. What does it mean to know? That with God, recognition of God is based on his deeds. So when God is absent and people don't see God, then they don't believe in God. Okay? But once that God, did I say Shem? Asher Sum, who is brought, God placed his eye of Hashkacha, and he's watching over now, over Yisrael, who have been severely oppressed. And he struck those who were enslaving them with great strikes. Okay, think about it. If it's true that Tzaras is a spiritual disease, and that people knew that, right? The translation of Tzaras is not leprosy. It's something which we know from the book of Vayikra. The only way you can get rid of Tzaras is with a... How do you get rid of Tzaras? It's if a Kohen helps you through it. Somebody who gets Tzaras in a time when you don't have such a process, guess what they have? Guess how long they're going to have Tzaras for? Forever. Mm-hmm. No doctor can cure it. You can't get rid of it. So if people see that the king of Egypt has become a Metzora, for example, then how does something like that happen? God's getting him. Why? Because the biggest critique against the king of Egypt and the Egyptians in general was that, yeah, God had told Abraham that your children are going to, right? Inu osam arba'mei oshana. They'll suffer a little bit. But to what degree? To what degree? And that's the problem that Egypt had, because they turned the degree of what Inui, they were supposed to give Bnei Yisrael, they raised it, they raised the bar, and always trying to raise the bar even higher. So when they see that Egyptians are getting punished, they recognize, the Jewish people recognize, that 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 God exists and that God cares. That we're getting a basically an announcement here about God's role. Because God sees the Jewish people. Somehow, the message came across that what is Vayeda Elohim? That God became known.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
Right. Remember, what is the theme? What is the theme of what the Makos are supposed to do? V'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem v'yadu 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 v'leman yadu, etc. So that becomes a theme. So what's the first stage here? Elokim. Vayeda Elokim. Notice how it doesn't say Vayeda Yud Kei Vav Kei. It says Vayeda Elokim. Exactly. Midas Hadin is coming.
Wow.
Consider yourselves warned. Midas Hadin is coming.
That doesn't have any words. If you think.
Hold on. What they have to
show up.
Yeah.
You see. The people didn't see that God was doing anything. You know, here, we are saying that the people began to see. And so they understood there's a belief system that God is going to help them. In the Shoah, unfortunately, you know, people didn't see, and therefore lost faith.
It's very hard to throw that time period into a very short conversation, because there were all types.
Right.
Right? There were some people who followed the reasoning that you're mentioning, and there are some who, as soon as the Holocaust was over, they said, "What kind of life am I going to have? Mm-hmm. I'm only going to be a from Jew. What are the, you know? God is here. The fact that I'm alive is God's hand and intervention." Not excusing free choice of man, of course. I mean, the main people who need to be blamed for the Holocaust are the perpetrators of it. Okay, who wants to guess what his comment on the next pasuk that we have here is? Moshe Gubs on the mountain. Vayera Malach Hashem Elah Belabas Eish Mitoch Asna.
Malach has to be God himself.
There you go, bingo. Okay, we saw that last week. Hamalach, Hamalach, Hagoel Asi. So he, by the way, he does that a lot, and I think I gave you that a few times, where he will reference a comment that he's made earlier in the Torah. So the fact that we've seen it is really nice. If you look, actually, seven lines down towards the end, there's a period after Po Malach Asabriya. Okay, so we did that last week. Not really. Okay, the next question I'm also not going to do inside, but if you look carefully in the text, let's look at the pasuk base. So the angel, whatever, malach, okay, appears to him in this fire from within the sene, the bush. Vayar, Moshe sees, vihinei hasneh. Bo'er ba'esh v'hasneh inenu u'kal. The sneh is bo'er ba'esh. What is bo'er ba'esh? It's burning. Right? That's what it means. Look at the next pasuk. Vayom Moshe says, Asura na v'eres, amara gadol hazeh, madua lo yivar sneh. I'm going to look and see how come the sneh is not burning. Hold on a second. Previous pasuk says it's burning. Now he's saying, I'm going to go take a look to see why it's not burning.
Consumed.
Well, that's v'hasneh inenu u'kal. That's right. So anyway, the point that he makes is that there's two stages of burning. There's burning where fire catches, and there's burning when burning destroys.
Right.
Okay, so what Moshe sees, hasneh, bo'er, ba'esh, that's the fire is caught. Ma'adua lo yivar, it's a different stage of burning. It's just a very similar, and I put that stuff in bold, so you can see it, but take a look at the last four words. Uvechinam ha'erichom ha'forshim b'zeh. Mufarshim says, it's wasting all their time. This is so simple. What are you wasting your time for? Trying to explain, isn't it? All right. Next one. Al tikrav halom. God says to Moshe, Al tikrav halom. Don't come close. So the question which he asks is, what's the difference between the words po, hine, or hena, and halom? And he basically says that halom refers to a more important place. Chashivus hamakom. Chashivus hamatzav. This is a significant time. And along the same lines, he says regarding the next part, Shalna Alecha, Moshe is told to take off your shoes, That's what he says. Kol makom. This, and he's just quoting the Midrash Rabbah. Kol makom shashchina nigleis asur b'nilas asamba. Any place where God's shchina is revealed, that you can't wear shoes there. But mikdash loyim akonim eli chayfim. Right, the kohanim in the base of mikdash were barefoot. Mioras hachnaa the misha omed lefanav, and it just shows the submission of the person who is standing before God if they have to remove the shoes. Okay, so that's the setup. Now, here is the question, and this is really a test to see who remembers so far back. Okay, look at the next pasuk that we have here. Test. So God tells Moshe to take off his shoes. Pasuk test. V'ata hinei tzakas b'nei Yisrael ba'a elai. Right, I mean, God gives Moshe the whole history. You know, I've heard about the cries, etc. V'hinei tzakas b'nei Yisrael ba'a elai. The cries of b'nei Yisrael come to me. And I see the pressure that Egypt is putting on them. So now here's the question. Okay, we've seen this before, so it's a fair test. What does the word hine tell us? Hine tzakas b'nei Yisrael. Hine tzakas b'nei Yisrael. We had this. Hinei no yadati, yeah, we had it there. Hinei no yadati, when Avram says it about Sarah. Hinei no yadati. What do they say when the Hinei bein l'Sarah ishtecha? Right, Hinei bein. Do you remember? That was even better than Hinei no yadati. Hinei bein, that's where he emphasized it. When the three guys tell Avraham that Sarah is going to have a child. Hinei bein. All right, let's take a look.
All right.
Where is it? What do I have? What do I do?
What's it called?
Yeah. Ah, hine. Oh, so I didn't mark it up. Tamo afshuk well for Brisbane observes man arba mea shana. Re'ez eno rak redu shana. He says, in the Brisbane Abisarium, Avram was told 400 years. And now it's only 210. Become welcome, koshi ashibu to kiam mitzvah, mosifim ba'od, be'inui, yashlim asman. The fact that they're making the shibud, the slavery, so much worse. So it's basically the equivalent of an additional 190 years. Ani katsati miat. They're making it worse, and that is going to cause lachena maher kates geula sam. I'm going to speed up the geula coming. Azeh amar v'ata hinei klamar lo amtin zmana mugbal. I'm not going to wait until the set time, 400 years. Ki amnam kais asher also shavasam lefanai v'gamani roes alachas v'tosef etzar al tzarasam. So I'm sending you to take him out. That was the idea. Remember, what does hine mean? A besura chadasha.
New foretelling.
New news.
New
news. What's the new news? That Moshe, you are alive at the moment now because you are the deliverer, and we're not waiting another 190 years. And let's assume for a second that Moshe knew 400 years. And Moshe says, okay, there's no way I'm going to go in there. 400 years that was the promise, right? So we've already talked about in his commentary on what Avram was told. Was it? Ger Yezarecha. It's Ger Yezarecha. Be'eretz lo lahem. Va'avadum v'inu osam. Arba me'oshana. That the Arba me'oshana covers three different stages. Of your children being a strange land, so you're being strangers. Your children being strangers begins with the birth of Yitzchak. That's how we know that 400 years. Eretz lo lahem. Well, until they get back into the land of Canaan, it's not really their land. It's promised to them, but it's not. And then va'avadum v'inu osam, they'll be enslaved for a certain amount of time. But Abraham Yoshana is all inclusive. So, but that doesn't mean that everybody knew that perush, right? Moshe is like, I think it sounds like a ball. Okay, anyway, so that's the point, that it's new. Ata hinei tzakas b'nei Yisrael, it's news, and therefore the news is that you're getting out early.
He quotes the Bereishis, hinei tov meod. Do you know what he refers to in hinei in Bereishis when it says tov meod?
No, don't remember. I don't think we had the class on Bereishis.
Yeah, we didn't.
Do you know that his commentary on Bereishis in my pages is like 120 pages? It's insane. It's insane. I mean, there was just no way. Thank God for the way Yonta fell out this.
Yeah.
It was a 3-day Yonta. I mean, listen, it would have been so much fun to go through it, but to try to figure out what to share with you?
Yeah.
I mean, just like shoot me now. Just think about it. Okay. Okay. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Okay, so now... All right, okay, so I'm just going to jump to all the stuff which is in bold to give you the opportunity to see some of the things which he says here about Moshe's conversation. Okay? Number one, Lochatzim Osam. Okay, how much time was Lochatzim Osam? So what's the pressure that Egypt is giving to the Bnei Israel? Remember, the Bnei Israel came to Goshen. Now, when you come to Goshen and you have 70 people, that's fine, no problem. But when it becomes huge... and you're stuffed in tenement apartments, and Egypt doesn't give you a chance to get out of this nice ghetto, but nonetheless it becomes a ghetto, then that's lochatzim. You need to be able to build new apartments in Jerusalem. You need to be able to build new apartments to expand for the fact that your numbers are expanding. That's what's the lochatzim osam, that they weren't allowing that natural expansion of living space. Lecha ve'eshlachacha. So the word lecha... when God says to Moshe, Lecha, go, he says it's not the same as Lech Shuv Mitzrayim. Lech means go, that's a command. Lecha, with a hey, he says is, look at the part of bold. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ayim mefate l'Moshe sheyelech b'shlichuso. He's seducing Moshe. He says, Moshe, this is good for you. You should try it. So that's what Lecha means. Moshe says, Mi anochi ke'elech haparo. Remember how Moshe objects? His first objection is, who am I? So what do you think that means? Is it humility? So he says, I'm wanted for murder. Right? I get to Egypt. Who am I? Are you kidding me? I'm a fugitive. I get to Egypt. They're going to kill me. That's not happening. Okay. So here's your first, as I said, I don't have mind-blowing stuff, but some really good stuff. Pasuk Yud Beis. Moshe is told, right? God tells him who I am. Here's the promise. When you take them out, you're going to serve me on this mountain. Tachlis haotzam in Pasuk Yibes on page 4. Tachlis haotza yiliosam avdei Hashem al yidei kabbalah satora. This is the whole. This is the whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim, is so that they should become avdei Hashem through getting the Torah. And that's what the os is. Look at the last line. One of the questions Moshe has, maybe they're not deserving. Maybe I get there, they're not going to, they'll say, who's God? Who's God? Who's God? The answer is that these are the people who, when they get to Har Sinai, it's all going to become clear. So that's the message which is being given to Moshe. Okay, the next one about, so the first thing which he tells us is that when Moshe says, what's your name? What should I tell them? God says, Ayah Asher Ayah. So his comment, which I didn't give you, is that Ayah Asher Ayah was a response for Moshe. That you should know who I am. I am the one who will be whatever I will be. When you tell them, you're going to tell them, Ayah Shlachani Alechem. But what does Ayah mean? So his interpretation mirrors the interpretation which is in the Bereishis Rabbah. You could see how he says towards the top, in the part which is in bold, Uchal Yislabesh Be'ezem Mida, that I have different character traits and I can demonstrate them depending on what's going on. Okay, sometimes I'll appear as Shaddai, sometimes as Kanov and Okein, the jealous God, sometimes as Abayas, sometimes as Rachum V'Chanun, merciful. And that's essentially the point which he makes, that they have to understand that the God of their forefathers is not a God who is... how do you describe it? One-dimensional. Good. I was going to say unifocus. One-dimensional is better. Because we have other gods. This is the sun god. This is the god of wrath. I mean, I don't know what it is. But this is not God. God has all different kinds of ways that he relates to the world. And that is what Ayah Asher Ayah means. I'm malleable depending on the situation.
The Yiddish is very good. I can be whatever I want to be.
Okay. That's good. Good. Where is that? Which line was that?
Yeah. Ich ken sein.
I gave it to you. Oh, at the top.
Yeah.
Right. Ich ken sein, was ich will sein. Okay?
I can be whatever you want.
Exactly. Very cool. Okay? So that's how he describes God. Okay. Vishamu l'kol echa. Okay, so now Moshe gives these objections. And God tells him in Pasuk Yirches, bottom page 304, Vishamu l'kol echa. They're going to listen to you. Vasata v'zeknei Yisrael ha-melech. It's right. Right? God happened upon us, and now we'd like to go out 3 days. And he says, "V'shamu l'kalacha, who can I? Kemo v'shama yishav v'hecher ishlash aperush im yishma." Okay, im yishma l'kalacha. Okay, in other words, if who listens to you? Remember what this instruction is. Pasuk Tez, go back to Pasuk Tez Zayin. Lech v'yasavta zignei Yisrael v'yamartalim. You have to gather the zikanim, the elders, and you have to tell them Pasuk Tez Zayin. You have to tell them Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yeches is v'shamu l'kalecha. Who's going to listen to you? Well, who are you talking to? The zikanim. He says, but is this automatic? Is this a promise that they're going to listen to you? Is it a command that they must come with you? Okay, so he says, no. Im yishma, then they'll come with you. Vishamu, the vav, he says, means im. V'chein kan im yishmu ziknei yishel kalecha yachimam, im lo yishmu lecha atalavadecha. If they don't listen, then you are alone. V'chein kishen yishmu du azuchein im. Halach moshim aron levado. Who actually comes before Paro?
Okay,
so this makes it that God is not a liar. That vishamu means it's conditional. V'im haya atzivu sheyelech im ziknei yishel davga. He says if it's a command that he has to go with them, who lets him go without them? Therefore, it's conditional. Okay, I'm going to skip Derek Shloshes Yamim for now, as much as I want to do it, but I'm running out of time, so I want to get to the main thing. Okay, Derek Shloshes Yamim is just a question of whether this was a plan. Was it a ruse? Was it were they trying to trick Paro? Okay. You hopefully you'll have a chance to look at it. And the idea of leaving 3 days, right? And even the main thing that he says there is that the whole purpose of leaving for 3 days is that the Egyptians should drown in the Kriyas Yam Suf. They're not even giving chase because of the gold, silver, and the clothing that the Bnei Yisrael go with them. It's a shigaon. I mean, some of the commentary, I don't remember who says that. Was it Ibn Ezra, the Ramban? They talk about this as shigaon. It's a craziness.
What did that do 3 days?
No, because the initial request is Nelcha Shloshes Yamim Amidbar, let us go for 3 days in the wilderness, and maybe Paro will be agreeable to that, not knowing that it's really 3 days in order to have them go to drown in the Kriyas Yam Suf. But when they actually do go in Parshas Bishalach, so they go on a 3-day journey, and even though they get stuck at the sea. And then Paro chases afterwards, and he takes him 3 days to get there, but they're still stuck at the sea, and that's why it's on the seventh day that Kriyas Yam Suf takes place. But it's a 3-day journey, whatever a 3-day journey means, whether it's distance, whether it's the amount of time that it takes to get there, and that, of course, opens up a different question as to where is the spot of Kriyas Yam Suf, but we're not going to get into that. Okay, a couple more things. Okay. Oh, all right. So he does this as well. Go to Perek Dalet. Moshe says to God, "Vayan Moshe vayomer v'hein lo yaminu li." Right. The next is he's going to tell the Bnei Israel, "Hein lo yaminu li." Says Milas Hein Shemesh Gam Al Hashelok Milas Im lo yaminu li. Okay. In other words, what if they don't listen? What's going to happen? What Moshe is saying, he knows what's going to happen. Hein lo yaminu li. They're not going to listen. Im lo yaminu li. So God says, Im lo yaminu lecha. Then I'll give you these three signs. And then, and that's the answer. Okay, now, we're going to skip now. We're going to skip a lot. We're going to skip a lot. We're going to skip the rest of the burning bush situation. And we're going to go to that crazy story on the bottom of page 310. Okay, two things in this, and then we're going to conclude with the last thing that I wanted to do with you, which is the Chulis Sivlos Echem, when Moshe and Aaron come to Paro, and Paro says to them, go to your Sivlos. Okay? So remember, it's not clear, and this is a little bit of a mystery. It's not clear when Moshe leaves after getting permission from his father-in-law to go. It's not clear what happens in this malon, which we assume is some kind of hotel or motel. We do know that somebody almost dies, and Tzipora circumcises her child, and whatever it was goes away. We don't know who almost died. We don't know which child was circumcised, okay? Because there is no indication at this point of a second child having been born. We only know about Gershom. Okay, later on in Parshas Yisro, we hear about Eliezer. So the commentaries are actually split on it. Some say it's actually Gershom who was circumcised. Some say it was a baby Eliezer. Moshe pushed it up. And he follows that party line, saying that it was the baby Eliezer. But look at what he says about the Malon. Why is this place called Malon? I love this kind of stuff. Okay? Bisibas Hamila Shenisrashalba. Why is he in the Malon? Because that's the Mila place.
What is
that hotel?
So, translation is Rachel, that he failed it?
He was negligent.
Kebeis
vayavod Yisrael bi'isha bishvil isha. Right, bi'isha. Yisrael worked for an isha. What is bi'isha? In order to get the isha. Umilas bamalon umishoresh mol. So, hamila ki misharesh zod zadon. Okay, similar to another. It's like the Mila in the Malone. Sorry, love that stuff.
That's good, man.
Okay, so it's not specifically about a particular hotel. You're not going to find the hotel room where this took place, according to Hatzav
Yakabala. The Yiddish there is Vegan the Vishnaim.
Yes.
Which means?
Because of the bricks.
Okay, all right. There you go. Okay, Vayavakesh Hamiso. So the question is, who sought whose death? So the Hatzav Yakabala's problem here is, he says, it makes no sense. He says, a bunch of commentaries say that God wanted to kill Moshe. And look at what he says in the third line here on page 5. He says, if not for the fact that that's what everybody says, that Moshe's life was in danger, that God said, you know, if you don't do this, even you could die. Even you're expendable. Even you're replaceable. That's the message of Ayivakesh Hamiso. Ksav HaKabbalah says, if not for all that, which is kind of, you know, ironic, because he never really follows what anybody else says anyway.
Yeah.
So, but he says that it would be going back to Moshe. Skip to the bold. The Amar Belibo, Ime Ye Roshel, Ibn Elohim, Lamali Chayim. That Moshe is basically giving up. He says, if I am negligent in this mitzvah, if in fact this is what's going on here, Mila, and I am, and God doesn't like me, then Tov Li Lizbatel Menetzius, I'm better off dying. And to choose my death over my life. He's not the only one who says this. Others say this as well. But the point is that we've seen this with other. First of all, Moshe does this a couple other times in the Torah. Who else does this? Yirmiyahu does it. Yonah does it. Right? They say, I don't want to deal with this anymore. If I don't want to deal with this, take me out. So that is his view on Vayivakesh Hamiso. Okay. All right, we're going to conclude now towards the very end of the parsha. Okay, so remember Moshe and Aaron, they come to Paro in chapter 5, Parakeh, and they give Paro the whole spiel. Elohim nikra leinu, God called upon us. We would like to go out for a three-day journey. And the Melech Mitzrayim says to them on the bottom page 312, Lama Moshe and Aaron tafriyu esam imasav. Why are you bothering the people from their work? Okay, so the part about Lama Moshe Aaron, he asks the question about what's the difference between the word Lama and the word Madua. They both seem to mean why. So he says that Lama is, I don't want to go. But you see there, he says Lama is Lidia Satachlis, trying to get to the purpose, and Madua is Sheilat Hasibah. You have to read it inside to get more. I didn't understand it well enough to summarize it. I was going to work through it, but we're out of time. So let's go through L'chulis of Losechem. Miskashim HaMeforshim. The commentaries ask, Halo Moshe Ve'Aaron lo'yu me'osei melechas avodah. Moshe and Aaron were not people who were enslaved. So what on earth is Paro telling them? Go to your Losechem. V'nir lomar, she'ein Sev Losechem kan nesiyas masachum. Chomeris, the idea that they're going to go to their sivlos, it's not to go do a physical burden. Avodah hakvedah kechol shono sivlos mitzrayim shemparshios elu. It's not heavy lifting, etc. Shem avodas koshos machbidos al shechem ha'am, which cause a major burden on the what's a shechem? Shechem is the shoulders. Ha'am ki nesias masar ruchanis. Says what is Moshe and Aaron? What's their sivlos? They have to carry a spiritual burden. Ke'inyan vayet shechmo lizbol ol Torah. They have to carry the burden of Torah, the yoke of Torah. U'machoveinu sivlam in Yishayon and Gimel. Shemekabel machovav yisurav v'lo yisra'im aliyam. You take the hits that God throws your way and don't complain about it. V'anachnu avonoseihem savalnu Me'inyan zeh, says we have taken upon our burden is their sins. V'chein nikra b'fiyah chachamim savlan, and that is what's a savlan? Savlanut, right? What's savlanut?
Patience,
right? What's somebody who is a savlan? Somebody who has a tremendous amount of patience for people who are usually annoying. Okay, savlan. Ish hashemeya ne'atzos u'gedufei b'nei adam. I love somebody who listens to the complaints and the way somebody blasphemes him and curses him out. V'umarich rucho v'lo yiskat seif al zeh. But he is so patient, doesn't get angry. Right? The classic example of that in the Gemara is Hillel. Right? Remember the guy who's asking the idiotic questions? Shameach herposo v'eino meishiv. People curse him out, he doesn't respond. Nela me'echirim v'eino olubam. Right? People are, they insult him and he doesn't throw back. V'nikra savlon. And he's called a savlon. Why? Levishu nose masa sacherpa v'bizayon al nafsho p'nima. He carries the burden of the disgrace which is thrown his way on his soul internally. V'yasim machsom lamo piv l'bli daber mimenum uma. And he just controls himself. I mean, we're seriously talking about an angel. I mean, a human angel who behaves this way. But think about that story about Hillel, right? Remember what the guy says? You're Hillel. I wish there's nobody ever like you. And Hillel's like, well, what did I do? He says, okay, well, you know, you really shouldn't make bets like that. Right? That's what he says. Okay. Me'inyan sevel ruchanize yidaber kra dilan l'chul sevelosechem. And that is it's the spiritual patience which Moshe and Aaron had that is being addressed here. Ki paro chashav, paro thought, she'eshtadlus Moshe v'Aaron v'zeh eino rak mitzad she'enim yicholim l'ros b'tzaras hachayim. Paro thought that Moshe and Aaron's efforts here was simply because they couldn't bear to see the tzaras of their brethren. L'chein yishtadfu imahem b'tzarasam. So he was saying, you guys should join with them in their tzaras. V'imtziu lehem tachbulas mirma, Lomar lasos lahem chag b'amidbar, and so he said, "I'm not, you know, going to fall for this trick to make a chag in the midbar. That's not going to do anything for anybody." Uvzei yifrok ol ashibud al me'aliyem. They're going to get rid of the shibud through that way. L'sibazo amar la aliyem achrei shatem atzmechem inichem chofshi mikol avodah. Since you guys are free from all the slavery, malachem lios misaber al riv lo lachem. Why are you getting involved in a fight which isn't yours? Go do your own thing. What do you care? You're basically suggesting that the people be involved in some kind of trickery and to rebel against their king. And says, you guys, you know, all the devils that you're dealing with, that's your own problem. Keep it to yourself and you'll be fine. Ki atem gormim b'zeh Leo's grama beniz kamelach. You're causing a tremendous loss to me. What are these words? Gedoldig. What does that mean?
Gedoldig.
Schmerz Leiden. And Leidenträger.
Leidenträger. Gedoldig is patience.
Mm-hmm.
Leidenträger takes the bad stuff in a more calmly.
Okay.
Just kind of relax. You know, calm down.
Oh,
well. Okay, and basically, Paro is telling them, like, guys, this isn't your fight. Okay, these chill out. These are people who have a king, and, you know, you may not like what's going on, but it's not your business. It's not your business. Tamkinu came with Savlanus, Shehitem Ba, Zesh, Shanim Rabos. You've had a tremendous amount of patience so many years. All this time you've been quiet. You swallowed it. You said that's what it was. But so Paro is saying, what's going on now? What's the big trigger now? You didn't say anything for so many years that they've been enslaved. So where are you coming from now? And I thought that the idea of the sivlos being a ruchani concept was something which was just fascinating to consider, and that Paro is talking to them on different levels because he's trying to be a smooth talker and trying to convince them that whatever it is that they're doing really isn't their business. And it's a different perspective than what you normally think, because Paro can't be telling them to go go do your work. They're not doing work. But he's Paro is playing politician essentially with them, and so that's why they have to play politician back. And surely, eventually they do, and of course we know the end of the story. All right, we'll stop here.
Let's go,
stop here.